We really want them to really understand what that meeting looks like and feels like. We want Christian CEOs and business owners to come in that are not only bring value to the group, but also are teachable. Look at it as an advisory board. You wouldn't hire a board member without the other board member seeing them. So we ask board members, potential board members, to come visit us for the day. Commit to going to the first day. Come and look at it, feel it, touch it. Something that feels good for you and the other team, feel like that works. Let's go.
Welcome to the Lead Like Jesus podcast. This is Karen Conley, and I'm in studio with Chris Conley, my husband, who is a trustee for Lead Like Jesus. And we are thrilled to be able to do part two of our interview with an incredibly knowledgeable man. Chris, would you do the honors and introduce our guest for us?
Yes. If you did not hear part one of our C12 discussion with Bob Phillips, make sure you go back and listen to that. But what we're going to do today is we're going to dive into part two, and we're going to learn all about these very focused, specialized groups that are for CEOs that help them lead their business from an eternal perspective to really make a difference, be a difference maker. So, Bob, welcome to the podcast. We're so grateful for you being here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Before we jump in, Bob, I'm going to just give you a couple different rapid fire questions that might help encourage the listening audience of, okay, where am I in this area? Or, ooh, that's a great idea. I haven't thought about that. So maybe just starting off in your personal life, what are some of the keystone habits? What are some of the things that you just make sure you consistently keep a part of your life to be healthy?
I think staying in the Word is the number one thing for me. Waking up every day and getting right. Waking up every day with, I call it priority time. I may have picked that up from somebody. We call it something else in C12, but I always called it priority time. But just having that, getting right with the Lord every morning.
So if you haven't heard about this priority time,
sorry,
a lot of people call it a quiet time. We don't call it a quiet time because we believe God's not quiet. He speaks loud and clear, and it's the one priority that determines all priorities. So I'm encouraged to hear that you call it a priority time. We love introducing new language and giving things meaning. Bob, as we think about these key habits that Karen's talking about, and the priority time is a foundation. It's a foundation that everything else is built upon. So you establish that spiritual foundation of renewing your mind with the Word of God. What are one or two other key habits that have just kept you growing both on a personal level and a professional level throughout your life?
Outside of reading the Bible, I would say reading other materials as well, whether it's business books, whether it's leadership books, and really continuing to educate yourself. Outside of that, I look at my life in balance. So I always sort of do a checkup of balance in a sense of not getting things too lopsided. I have a couple tools that I use to do that.
What did you do to make sure that as you were growing in your success and becoming a CEO and leading millions of dollars worth of companies, what did you do to protect your marriage and strengthen it?
What I didn't want to do is grow up as a father and all of a sudden you look at your son and you've missed all his softball games or all your baseball, whatever they were doing. So really just defining who I was going to be, wherever I was, saying I'm going to put 110% in, but that 110% is going to sort of have to stay in this area, that I have to prioritize my family because my job is something that I had just to sort of keep in check. Because you can get lost. There's not enough hours in the day as a CEO. You can stay there all day long, but you have to be disciplined to be able to say, okay, I got to turn it off and go be a dad because that's really my calling.
Those habits are critical to establishing credibility in order for you to lead other leaders. So I know that you're the chair for leading the C12 group. Leaders, when they think about who they're going to listen to, when they think about who they're going to follow and who they're going to submit to and allow that person to lead them, those personal qualities of having those habits and that foundation is essential in order for you to have their respect. So that's why we talk about those kind of things in this podcast, because our leadership is never just separated from our personal life. Our leadership builds upon our personal life.
Right.
Bob, as we talk about C12 specifically, break down what takes place in the sense of, if my understanding is correct, it's a year-long commitment, but then each month they set aside one day. Break down what this commitment looks like and then what you do as you progress in the course of a day and then over the course of the year.
It is initially a year commitment, but you would find that very, very few CEOs stop becoming C12 members. It becomes their perpetual advisory board. There is no graduation point. We've never arrived. So the day really starts out. It's a packed day. We start at 9 a.m. sharp. We end at 4 p.m. sharp every week. The CEOs collectively come up with what works for them. So we have groups that meet like a third Tuesday or a third Thursday or whatever of the month. And it's calendared and it's in every month. And so the morning always starts off with a devotion. But before we start off with the devotion, actually C12 has a tool. We call it the Wheel of Truth. Now, all C12 groups may not do this, but we have one that's actually printed and it's called the Wheel of Truth. It's a round circle like a pie chart, and each has a different subject matter, which may be fun and recreation, personal, ministry, quiet time, priority time, business, three different categories of business, maybe 9 or 10, 11 different categories, and you shade them further out. You go, obviously the inner circle is a 0 and the out is a 10. We have the CEOs shade that in and then share with everybody to say, does your wheel roll? Mm-hmm. Now, you can weight things differently because obviously fun and recreation, how do you really weight that? So, you know, you may do something once a month, which is fine, whatever that is. But you're really looking at yourself and then you're keeping that month over month. Then you compare next month to say, where was I last month? And what am I doing about getting better in this category? Show everybody in the rooms. That's sort of a rubber hits the road. Good morning. So we start off with a quick lightning round of that. Then we move into the devotion time of the morning. We have different scriptures that are going to tie the rest of the day together as well. We were talking on unity last time, and we'll have a different scripture each month that we'll break into. Then we have a working on your business section. This is the mechanical section of here's a business principle or best business practice, and then walking through those. But it's very multimedia. There's materials that are read throughout, and then there's videos of testimonials of other C12 members that are embedded into these. So it's very interactive that way. We'll spend a couple hours on that.
That curriculum is produced by C12. On a national level.
On a national level, okay. Correct. We walk through that. We have lunch brought in for everybody, and then we go into what's called a core business presentation. There's 12 CEOs around the table. And once a month, one of them is going to present their core business presentation. And we're going to look at everything from financials to their senior team and really looking at it in three different ways. You look at your team value add, your spiritual value add, and your economic value add. What are you doing inside your business? You're going to rate all these categories all the way down to their profits. And then what are you doing with your profits? And that's a challenging question, right? If this is God's, what are we doing with it? Now, it's not prescriptive. But you put that question on the table, and you have 12 CEOs.
Some accountability.
Yeah, there's some accountability out there.
And it's casting the vision for being a steward.
You're
instead
just a
of
steward.
Owner.
You're right, exactly. You're just a steward of it. So it's an hour and a half presentation. They're also going to have three key issues. They're going to say, hey, this is where I need your input. We're going to give them feedback, and we're going to look at them. But it also holds them accountable to show what they're working on, show their business, and also helps them get feedback from the advisory board to maybe input, maybe do you think about this? Do you thought about this? What's going on here? We'll ask a lot of different questions because different companies are different levels when it comes to analytics with their P&L or the way they analyze their company.
So I'm imagining the businessman with the $1 million company versus the $1 billion company walks in with a very different experience, but has so many people to learn from and to challenge each other and to sharpen each other in that environment.
Funny you say that. Interesting, because in my experiences, the larger the company, the more humble the man. Very humble, and they're really eager to hear from other people. It's interesting.
That's fascinating. You say that because as we have interviewed some extraordinary leaders through this podcast, people who have success that most people only dream about, and we have noticed that the common denominator among these leaders that will identify with Lead Like Jesus and this servant leadership model is humility.
Yeah.
There's few things more attractive in life than humility.
Absolutely.
Bob, give our audience an example of maybe some of the topics that you would cover over the course of the year. What is that middle part of your day? You mentioned unity. Are there other topics that—
Yes. Probably have a two-part series on becoming the employer of choice. Last month, we worked on knowing God's will in your business and really discerning God's will in your business. We also broke down Stephen Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. We broke that down into a couple-part series as well. We'll do a planning session that'll help people plan hundreds of different topics that we'll have out there. They'll cover each month.
I would imagine that when you're leading a group of 12 executive level leaders, there are some challenges that come with leading other leaders. What are some of the things that you have learned as a leader about how to lead leaders?
As a CEO, I was always brutally honest. Didn't always sugarcoat things. I've learned to really walk beside the CEOs because I was one of the C12 members. I was their peer. I was one of the advisory boards of them. And now I'm the facilitator. So walking with them in a slightly different way. Just been amazing. It's very exciting.
You just mentioned that you're the facilitator. As a leader, I like to talk a lot. So there's got to be some tricks and some art involved in facilitating leaders. You know, maybe what are some of those best practices that you've learned? How do I manage the dynamics of a room full of leaders in that world of facilitating?
Yeah. The neat thing about it is, for a person that likes to talk a lot as well, we actually, as chairs, we actually read all the documents. I actually narrate the whole thing. So I'm reading the materials.
Wow.
Word by word, we're going to read them. I get my talking in there, I guess. It manages itself in some ways. Some people can talk a little, you know, it's interesting because some pretty dynamic personalities in the room, but there's an agenda that's printed for the day. They know we have to get through these topics so we don't get too far off.
They're respecting one another's time.
Yeah. And I can't say it's self-managed really, but I've learned a few things there to keep it moving.
So how does one become a member of a C12 group? If someone's interested and says, wow, it seems like there's so much value in that. And to be able to talk with other CEOs and to sharpen one another, what's that process like?
Well, we always want people to come visit a meeting. We really want them to really understand what that meeting looks like and feels like. We want Christian CEOs and business owners to come in that are not only bring value to the group, but also are teachable. Look at it as an advisory board. You wouldn't hire a board member without the other board member seeing them. So we ask board members, potential board members, to come visit us for the day. Commit to going to the first day. Come and look at it, feel it, touch it. If something that feels good for you and the other team feel like that works, let's go.
So there's some mutual agreement.
Absolutely.
That it's a good fit.
Yeah, yeah. There's no official process here, but everyone is given the respect of being able to see the potential new member. We want people to come in and get to see each other.
Are there any other types of similar groups, not the CEO, but other people involved in an organization?
We have a key players group. Traditionally, it's for the CEOs, number twos, they're key players, but it also can be a spot for someone that maybe isn't quite there as far as the size of company or doesn't have that experience. They could actually come into a key players group and gain some of that experience or gain some insight and have them start off in a different group before, maybe as their company grows.
Bob, thinking about your days as a CEO and as a believer in a corporate environment, if someone's listening today, and they don't have the advantage of being a part of this type of group. What are some nuggets of wisdom that you might give that believer out there that's climbing the ranks of how they can make an influence and how they can have an impact, though they might be in a culture where they can't be as forthright with their faith and there's those different levels? What would you recommend to that person?
We're not precluded from talking about our faith. I always go back to St. Francis of Assisi said, you know, preach the word, but occasionally use words, right?
Right, right.
You know,
right.
So I think so many things can be learned by your actions, number one. I was one of those CEOs, right? And I was in an equity fund owned group. So I had my cross on my refrigerator in my office. So people knew where I came from. But I think there's so many opportunities. And that's why I love C12, because it can really reach. I mean, even if you don't have a C12, you're not going to be a member, but there's so many people you can reach at your work that the church can't even reach. So there's so many unchurched people that bring their problems to work that you can touch their lives. You know, I think there's so many opportunities. So don't be shy about it. I always made sure that, you know, either my Bible or my cross. So people knew, they're like, okay, maybe I'll open a door. Maybe they're going to come ask me a question, or maybe they'll come for advice. There's been many times that, you know, I'd go down the hallway and someone would have a problem. You can talk with them. You can pray with them. You're not precluded from doing any of those things.
As you have been a part of C12 and as you have chaired this chapter here in Memphis, what is a proud moment? You saw the group come together and accomplish something, or you saw God work in a special way, or another category there of not just a proud moment, but a God story that you say, this is why we do this. This is why we look at our businesses from an eternal perspective and see that we can really make a difference by advancing God's kingdom, by also being good at business.
Yeah, I think there's a couple that come to mind, probably on two extremes. Partnerships can be tricky in business, and especially when you're not equally yoked in partnerships. And so we've had members come in and maybe open a different business or open up another business or an offshoot of their business. And they brought someone that had a lot of expertise in that, and they were going to let them buy in as a partner level. Well, here's a CEO that's been walking with the C12 group for 2 years, and the lights come on there. You know, hold on for a second before you do that. You need to probably walk this out. That member brought that to us. He was very concerned about it. thought it was a right idea, but did it biblically in the sense of prayed about it, sought the word, brought it to wise counsel. We walked that out for a year, a little over a year, and they consummated that. And it's been a great partnership, but there was a lot of wisdom in the room where the other CEO is saying, okay, if you do it. Matter of fact, that member brought his potential partner to our meeting for us to vet.
Wow.
You have to make sure you're equally yoked in those situations. Conversely, we've seen some blind spots in a CEO that were pretty major that we all kind of backed up for a second, met, and then said, hey, we really need to approach that CEO because that's really going to be an issue and we love them. And if we don't fix that, it could be really detrimental to them and their business. And then reach out in love to say, we love you. We know you don't have all the answers here, but we want to work with you. We want to help you. A little fear there, right? Because you're getting ready to go walk into someone's business and kind of say, hey, we don't think things are all perfect here, but yet do it in love. And they see the love of Christ. We just love you and we want to help you. That was a great experience to be able to get that positive reaction to the man, tearful, a little embarrassment, all those things, right? You know, but you get through.
But it's a safe place for that developmental feedback.
Absolutely.
And if your group did not do that, there's a high degree of probability that CEO would never really get that type of feedback.
Yeah. We do a lot of different polls with our CEOs, and they ended up, we had one that rated from 2008 to 2013. I think 79% of our CEO members experienced upward performance. I remember those years were pretty tough years. Upper performance in their companies versus only 1% had a downward performance. There's so much attributed to the C-12 being aware. We work on a succession. So many CEOs or owners, what is their succession plan? And succession plans are something you come up with overnight.
Sure.
That's a 5 to 7 year deal usually, or maybe longer. Really coming up with a succession plan, because if this is God's business and you're the steward, what are you doing about stewarding it so it continues?
Right. Well, if you're listening and you go, but I'm not a CEO or I'm not a key player and I'm more climbing the ranks out there, I want to encourage you that you can take some of the principles that we've talked about today and you could identify a couple of peers in the business world and simply you can begin to decide, you know what, we're going to have lunch once a month or we're going to have lunch once a week and we're going to read a business book together and we're going to begin to talk about these things. So these principles are applicable across the board. If you are a CEO or a key player, please check out the C-12 groups. They're all across the country. You can go to their website and check that out. Bob, we are so grateful for you being here with us today and just giving us insight into these types of groups that really inspire us and encourage us that people, men and women, are getting together, thinking about things in this way, looking at their business in a visionary way and as a steward of what God has entrusted to them.
Thank you.
Thanks for being with us, Bob. One more time, if someone out there has a question, they can obviously go to c12memphis.com. Is there a way for them to reach out if they have a question for you?
Absolutely. You can email me at bob.phillips@c12group.com. You can reach me by telephone at 901-283-7777.
Thank you so much for joining us. And for more information about leadership development, training, and resources, visit us at leadlikejesus.com.